Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
Well, good morning. Morning, everybody. Great to have you. We're so glad that you made it today. And a very special welcome and good morning to you if you're new. My name is Bert. Today, we're diving into week two of a message series called Great Expectations. And we're talking about the unbreakable link between our hearts and our finances. We began to talk about this a little bit last week. Our hearts and our finances are connected. Another way to say this is what we do with our money is a spiritual thing. And I'll pick up this morning kind of right where I left off last week. I began last week's message kind of just addressing the elephant in the room. Anytime you come to church for the first time, particularly, you know, if you're a little suspicious by nature, you come to church and the pastor's talking about finances, it's really easy out of the gate to get your back up and to be suspicious. And I just want to acknowledge that I get that. I get it. If you're new, look, we live in a world where sometimes pastors and preachers have misused their platform for personal gain. So if you just walked in, you don't know if I'm one of those dudes who flies in a private jet and, you know, drives a Bentley and has a multi-million dollar net worth and all that. And so you don't know that. And I get it, so because I haven't had a chance to win your trust yet. So here's what I would say. If that's you, if you're naturally suspicious and you're here for the first time or the second time and you're like, yeah, I don't know about this, I got some homework for you. Your homework is practice the principles of generosity that we're going to talk about somewhere else. If you don't trust our organization, you don't know this church yet, you don't know me, I get it, I understand completely. You go find an organization you do trust. Go find something that you do believe in to support financially. Because it is true that there are some folks who have misused their platform for personal gain. But it is also true that there's a lot of people out there hiding behind that fact and using that as an excuse to never ever be generous. And I want to encourage you not to be that person. So we're talking a little bit about the connection between our hearts and our finances. And we dove in last week to the teaching on that the scriptures give us on tithing. Now, if you're new to church, the word tithe is a biblical word, which means one-tenth. And what God calls us to is not just any tenth, but the first tenth. That means we honor God off the top. Now, again, if you're suspicious, you ought to know this out of the gate. Jesus never once took up an offering in the entire New Testament. You probably love that if you're new. Like, if you're suspicious, that probably makes you very happy to hear that. Jesus never one time passed an offering plate. Jesus never one time said, okay, it's time for us to gather some money for me. There was one point where people were asking him a question about taxes. He borrowed a coin. He did a little coin trick talking about Caesar. As far as we can tell, he gave the coin back. That's all there is. So what we see rising up out of the scriptures is simply this. Jesus wasn't trying to get people's money. Jesus was trying to keep people's money from getting them. And the same is true today. Jesus identifies money as the thing most likely to derail your connection with God. Jesus singles out money and the things that money can buy. It's the thing most likely to get in the way and kind of jack us up as we're trying to connect with God. It's the other God we tend to worship. So what he tells us over and over again in the scriptures is that we are called to leverage our earthly wealth for eternal things. That we're called to do something amazing. We're called to do something radical. To give and be generous and leverage what we have for something greater. So what we're going to do this morning, as we turn to the scriptures, we're going to turn to, for my money, pound for pound, the most confusing parable in the entire Bible, okay? This is the speaker in this parable is Jesus Christ. And if you're new to church, a parable is it's sort of just an illustrative teaching. It's a story that proves a point or shows a point. So this is where we're diving in. This is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill quickly and change it to 400 gallons. "How much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. Here the manager said, "Take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. Okay, does everybody see what's going on? Everybody get what's happening here? Okay, we're not to the end of the parable yet. We haven't got to the confusing part yet. I just want to pause and make sure we all get this. There's a rich man, a guy so rich, he has a business manager. He's hired a business manager to handle his affairs. So he's got a business manager who handles all this stuff, and he kind of doesn't even, he's just busy playing golf, you know? He's not kind of in the day-to-day, but he later learns that his business manager has been playing fast and loose with the books. He's been skimming, he's been stealing money. So he says, "Dude, you're fired, you're done, go clean out your desk, this is your last day." So now the dishonest business manager is in a bind and he says to himself, "What am I gonna do? I don't have much time. I don't have much time and I'm fired now and I'm not strong enough to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg and certainly no one's gonna hire me again as a business manager. So I gotta figure something out. I've got this tiny little limited window of time." And so he talks to some of the people who owe his employer money, and he brings the first guy and says, come on, hurry up. I don't have much time. What do you owe him?" "Well, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." "Okay, perfect. Quick, hurry up. I don't have a lot of time. Cross out the 800, write down 400. Cool?" "Yeah, cool. Absolutely. And if there's ever anything I can do for you, you let me know." "Oh yeah, you can bet on it. I'll be talking to you real soon because I'm going to need a favor soon." Everybody see what he's doing? Next guy, "How much do you owe him? What do you owe my master?" "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat." "Okay, quick, come on, hurry up. I got a lot of people to see. I don't have much time. Cross that out. Cross out 1,000 and write 800. Now you only owe him 800. Cool. And if there's ever anything I can do for you, you let me know." Yeah, you absolutely will. I got you on speed dial, buddy. Everybody see what's happening? The guy has this limited window of time. And what he's doing is he's doing all that he can in this limited window of time to prepare for what's coming next. Get it? Now, because Jesus is such an amazing storyteller, every one of his original audience, every member of Jesus' original audience, the people that were in the first century hearing this for the first time, they're waiting now for the axe to fall. They're waiting like, oh my word, once the manager, like once the owner finds out what the dishonest manager has done, he's gonna be executed, he's gonna be thrown into debtor's prison. Like this guy is not, like he was fired for being dishonest and then he doubled down on his dishonesty and he stole more from his master. So everyone in the original audience is waiting for the axe to fall on this guy. And so it's a bit of a sucker punch when Jesus continues the parable. This is what Jesus says next. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. Don't you love the word rascal? And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Okay, so this is not what we expected. This is not at all, oh, hang on. I got to read you the next verse because we read these last week and maybe you didn't know where it came from. This is the context. The very next verse, no one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Okay, so here's back to the parable. So now the owner, okay, the boss finds out that the guy he just fired for stealing from him spent his last day stealing from him again. And you're waiting for the owner to be furious. You're waiting for the owner to be like, oh, I can't believe it. Call the police. Let's get this guy out of here in handcuffs. Send him to the judge. Let's get him executed. Like, you're waiting for this. And the owner says he had to admire the dishonest rascal. So the owner basically learns what happens and goes, man, you got me. I can't believe it. You got me again. Unbelievable. Is he mad? No, he's really wealthy. So 200 barrels of olive oil, 400 gallons of olive oil and 200 bushels of wheat or whatever it was. It's a negligible amount of money to him. He's not really that worried about the money. He just looks at this guy and goes, unreal. You totally got me. I can't even believe it, like, that you did that. That's amazing. Good for you, bro. And so the audience is like, what? This isn't right. That's not fair. The guy, and now everybody's confused because we all know if it's a parable of Jesus, somebody in the parable is God and somebody in the parable is us. So we're now looking like, where's the teaching point? What's the lesson? And then Jesus thankfully actually says, okay, just in case you're all confused, here's the lesson. This dude said, I don't have much time. I got this little window of time during which I can leverage what I have. I have some position. I can leverage what I have for what is coming next in my life. And he's like, man, the children of the world are more shrewd than are the children of the light. In other words, it's on us to own this. We don't have much time. How many of you know you don't have much time? I was reminded of that this week. We don't have much time. And we're called during the little window of time that we have to leverage what we've been given for eternal good, to do something eternal. And it says, make friends. Let me not misquote it. This is what it says. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, in other words, when you die, they will welcome you into an eternal home. Okay, so use your worldly wealth to benefit others and to make friends so that when you die, they will welcome you into an eternal home. What does that mean? Okay, let's spell that out. Some of you, you've been giving faithfully and you've been leveraging your worldly wealth. Many of you, you started tithing years ago. You decided you were gonna honor God. You were just gonna start at the first of the month. I'm getting the first money I make is God's. He's named it as his own. I'm just gonna return it to him. The scriptures are clear. You don't give a tithe, you bring a tithe. It's what God identifies as his. So many of you years ago, you decided I'm gonna start honoring God financially. And what that means is, what this verse means, is that someday you're gonna take your last breath on earth, and when you enter eternity, during your stay in eternity, somebody you have never met before is gonna walk up to you. And they're gonna say, I just have to thank you. And you're gonna go, thank me for what? I've never met you. And they're gonna look at you and go, yeah, but you gave sacrificially, you honored God with your finances so that this church could have its doors open, so that this church was ready for me when I came in on my first Sunday, because we know that every Sunday is somebody's first Sunday. When I came in on my first Sunday and I was a mess, I mean, my life was all jacked up. I was addicted. I was still hungover from the night before, and my family was a mess, and my career was a mess, and my kids were a mess, and my health was a mess, and I just needed God. Like, I gave church one more try, and I came in the doors to this church, and this church was ready for me. There was a chair for me, there was a hot cup of coffee for me, and a bagel for me, and the music felt right, and the message was in plain English, and I just was able to connect with God because of your sacrifice. How about you come over to my house and have a cup of coffee? They will welcome you into eternal dwellings. They'll welcome you into an eternal home because you gave, because you made a decision. You decided during my limited time on earth, it occurred to you, I don't have much time. But during my time here, I will leverage what I have been given for eternity, and I will change the lives of others. What happens right away for some of us, if you're like me and you tend to be more sarcastic and more on the suspicious side, what happens in moments like this is that we get our back up because we secretly suspect that God is a taker. If you look back to the text from the Garden of Eden, the original sin, right? God says, don't touch anything. You can touch anything except this. He doesn't say don't touch anything. Let me back up on that. My theology, shut up. Okay, so God says you can touch anything except this tree. Enjoy everything. And I mean, the Garden of Eden was not a small place. Everybody with me? The Garden of Eden was not like your garden in your backyard. This was a vast place. Just don't touch this. And the suspicion was, why? Why shouldn't we touch that? Why shouldn't we have that? Maybe God's holding back on me. Maybe God's withholding something from me. Maybe God is a taker and not a giver. So when we're called to tithe, there's something inside of us that goes, maybe God's trying to get something from me. Maybe God's trying to get at my money. Maybe God is a taker and not a giver. Loved ones, we touched on this last week. Look at God, if God wants your money, he could just take it from you. Some of you have been there. And I'm not, look, I'm not much for the gloom and the doomsday stuff, but I believe this. A loving father will do anything to keep something poisonous out of the life of their children, yes? I think some of you could testify to this. You get too into your money and too focused on your money, it's not out of God's, it's not beyond the realm of possibility at all to think that God will take it from you so that you'll refocus on him. Do you know why? Because what God is calling us to do now is surrender. He's just calling us to go, all right, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. It's all yours anyway. I surrender. Because that's exactly what you would do if all the money left. Come on, come with me for a minute. Think about this. If you lost everything, would you pray? Of course you would. When it was all gone, you'd go, Lord, I surrender everything. I just surrender it all. It's all yours. And God would look at you and go, yeah, you surrender everything. It's all gone. It's easy to surrender it now. I had to do this to get your attention. Don't wait till that. Surrender now. Just decide, God, it's all yours anyway. What you give me is yours. I'm only returning to you what you first gave me. I'm going to honor you. And God says, this is what you do. Not an amount of money, a percentage. And then we get kind of freaked out about that. Where are my bargain shoppers at? Anybody here just love to shop and love a good discount? Anybody? Yeah, you're going to pretend like you're not into this. Whatever. I see you out there, okay? Now, if you're a hardcore, if you're an average bargain shopper, if you're like a normal relative, like everyday bargain shopper, when you see a sign in the window that says 20% off or 30% off, you go, okay, 20% off, 30%, that's pretty good. You know, you go in and maybe you enjoy 30% off, that's great. But if you're a hardcore, some of you are hardcore, if you're a hardcore bargain shopper, 20, 30% doesn't get you excited. You're going to the back of the place where there's a clearance rack where stuff is 80 or 90% off. Where are you at out there? Oh yeah, you're there, I see you, I got you. You're looking for the 80, 90% off rack. You're looking for the rack where they're paying you to haul the stuff out of the store, right? You want, and if you could get something cool, if you could get something for 80 or 90% off, you're like, you're excited and that's a great day for you. And you tell everybody, I only paid this much money for this. And you just feel like you totally like accomplished something great because you saved that money. And that's awesome. That actually is really, really cool. My point is for you guys, if you see a sign that says 10% off, do you get excited? 10% off. You're going to give me a 10% discount? Whatever. A 10% discount is nothing. You don't get excited about a 10% discount. You don't go, wow, excellent, 10%. Like, it's just not a big deal to you. But when God calls us to say, I've called back 10% of what I've given you, for some reason we go, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold the phone. 10%. It's the same percentage. It's the same exact percentage that God has, and he's called us. He said, look, live on 90% of your income. Make a decision now. The first tenth comes back to me, and you will not believe how I'm going to bless your life. And once you do that, you get to, for the rest of your days, while you're honoring God, you just get to say, Lord, I'm counting on you to take care of me. Some of you guys know I had like a little medical thing going on a couple months ago. I spent 11 days in the hospital. Do you know what it costs to spend 11 days in the hospital? Neither do I. They haven't sent me the bill yet. I don't know. But I was a little freaked out about it. Like, you kind of know that's coming, and I know, like, I'm going to have a little whoa. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And I have health insurance. The church provides me with health insurance, which is great. I'm grateful for that. But, you don't know what's going to be covered and what's not, and there could be a bill coming. And I remembered, this occurred to me. I mean, day one, I'm in the hospital. It was one of the first things I'm thinking about. Like, what is all this going to cost? And I was reminded, like, we don't need to talk about the amounts, but I don't mind telling you, I practice what I preach on this matter and then some. And I made a decision several years ago, this is important enough for me that I'm automating it. I don't want to miss a month by accident, and I have a Swiss cheese memory, so I forget stuff. So I will forget if I don't automate it. So I made a decision. I'm like, I don't want to worry that I might have forgotten to honor God at some point. I'm just making a decision. I calculate what I earn in a year. I divided that number by 12, and the first of every month, 1/10 of what I earn just go. It's withdrawn automatically from my checking account. It comes back to the Lord. And so I remember sitting there. It happened to be a Sunday morning. I was laying in the hospital going, man, what is all this going to cost? And then I remembered that Sunday, like that literal day, as I was in the hospital, unbeknownst to me, I had tithed, I had honored God because of a decision that I made years ago to honor him. And it was wonderful to be able to lay in that hospital bed and go, I don't know what all this is going to cost, but I trust you and I'm counting on you to take care of me because I've honored you financially, and there is such freedom in the ability to do that. God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. So we're asking you, I'm asking the whole church, start now and take it for a spin through the end of the year. If you come to the end of the year and your life is not blessed and you feel like this was a bad idea, we will refund every single thing you gave to us. And I mean that. We're in the middle of that window of time. Anything you donate to our church between now and the end of the year, I know if you're new, you're like, what? It's totally refundable. We'll just give you your money back. We believe that much that God is going to bless your life if you step out in faith. For many people, it's the last thing they trust God with. For many people, it's the last stronghold. And there will never be enough left over at the end of the month. It's something we have to decide up front, that tithing means God gets the first 10%. But that's what he calls us to. And I have never, church, I have never in all my years of ministry have somebody come up to me and go, man, you told me to be generous and it was the worst decision I ever made in my life. What were you thinking, man? No one's ever said that to me. But I have talked to people time and time and time again who spent their way into misery. Yes? We don't give our way into misery. We spend our way into misery. Decide today. Set it up, automate it, don't think about it again, and watch what happens in your life. And you got problems with it, you got issues with it, go give the money away someplace else. Practice generosity and watch how God opens things up in your life and how your life gets blessed. I promise you, you're going to love it. We'll pick it up right from here next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we want to obey you in this. We want to step out in faith. We want to do as you've called us to do, but we struggle, Father, because we're very attached to our stuff, because we like stuff, and this is something that we've held on to for a long, long time. Father, cause us, create faith within us to obey you in this matter, to step out and trust you, to return to you that which you claim as your own, that we might know the joy of leveraging our worldly wealth for something eternal for others. May it be so in all of our lives. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.